We will move on to our next speaker, Dr. Mansour. He is the chair of surgery at MSU. He has been a vascular surgeon for over 30 years and is the incoming chair for the Vascular Surgery Board.
Thank you, Dr. Shipper and Dr. Mitchell, for inviting me.
That looks like a good talk.
Before coming here, I was at a billing session next door, learned all about RVUs, and one of the interesting things that I learned was that the CMS RVU valuation has not changed in the last 20 years. They're still paying us $35 per RVU, same amount they paid in the late 1990s. Everything is going up, but our reimbursement is staying flat. It's pretty depressing that we have to deal with that. I'm going to expand a little bit about on what Dr. Goldberg was talking about. I don't have any disclosures. What I'd like to do is give you a little overview of burnout from what I'm seeing, the scope of the problem, who's at risk, maybe talk a little bit about gender differences, and then impact on physicians and patients. I don't know about you, but every time I open my email in the last month, this is from September 17th, so about just a month ago. Every time I open my email, there's some article or some reference to burnout. I think it's a good thing that we're recognizing it, and this is maybe a place to start. But again, if you survey, and one of the things that I hesitate about quoting surveys is that I want to know how many people actually fill out the survey. And the second thing, are people really being honest when they fill out the surveys? There is in surgery particularly, there is this culture that we should never admit that we're weak, that we're getting torn down by our responsibilities. But if you look at, this is a different paper that was recently published in JAMA. It talks about the prevalence of burnout among physicians, and this looked at a bunch of papers that have been published. And it's a real thing, so it's systematically being described in the literature. There's an association, depending on what clinical specialty you are in, the symptoms of burnout and the problems rise, and this is something that's prevalent with residents in the United States. This was an article that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine about 6 or 7 months ago. And I don't know if you've seen this, but basically, this is a clip from it. My work lost meaning. I was just going through the motions. I thought everything I tried to accomplish was a failure. I had trouble relating to patients and felt the urge to avoid encounters altogether. I cared less and less about anything I was doing. This is a trauma surgeon who wrote this article. So burnout is a triad. It's emotional exhaustion, it's depersonalization, and the feeling of personal accomplishment is gone. And that leads to cynicism. So it becomes cynical. You think that there is a plot to undermine you at every corner. And then the next thing is detachment. And it's pretty clear that burnout can lead to depression. You already heard about this. The rate of physician suicide has gone up. It's the highest. Recently, this was an article from May. And as you've heard, there are many factors that lead to burnout. You can't just put your finger on one problem. I think it's a lot of it has to do with paperwork, insurances, the paperwork that you have to do is becoming overwhelming. I was really interested in the article that Dr. Goldberg quoted, that we are doing 7 times as much documentation than other physicians in the world. And the bottom line is that we're not doing this documentation to improve patient care. We're doing this documentation to get billed, so we can bill, so we can collect on the work that we're doing. There was another article that somebody had quoted recently about this anybody use Epic here? Or yeah. So since Epic has been introduced, the copying and pasting has gone up like 80% or 90%. So it's just really, we're doing some things that are really, hopefully in pretty soon we'll find out that it's not very worthwhile. So bottom line is, I think that what happens is that physicians get sucked into this bureaucratic miasma, and it takes away from family time, personal time, and leads to a whole bunch of problems. Again, this is from the Mayo Clinic. Depending on when you survey physicians, about more than 50% of physicians will admit that they're burned out. And 88%, and this is probably going up, admit to being severely stressed. And this is the most interesting thing. I think most of us went into medicine because we had a feeling that we were going to be able to help people. But if you survey physicians now, they would not recommend going into medicine to their kids, which tells you a lot. This is not a unique problem to physicians in the United States. If you look at our Canadian neighbors, if they were surveyed, two-thirds felt that the workload was too demanding, and half of the physicians felt that exhaustion led to problems with sleep, and half of the physicians felt that their family and personal lives suffered because of their work. There's been books written about burnout and what to do about it. This is one of them. And the graph to the left shows you the specialties. At the top is urology, and at the bottom is ophthalmology. So again, depending on who you survey and what the survey response rate is, you'll get some different numbers. But general surgery is the in the middle there. So even family physicians are affected, and you can read for yourself the all the different specialties here. So this looked at whether there was gender differences, and I'm not surprised to report that women get burned out more frequently than men, maybe because women are more honest when they respond to the surveys. But for general surgery, we're like fifth from the top. And when you specifically look into why physicians think that they're getting burned out, they readily tell you that it's because of the bureaucratic tasks they have to do. They're spending too much time at work. The income is not high enough to reflect what they should be compensated for. And obviously, more computers and more regulatory pressures make it more difficult also. You've heard about Maslach, and this was a paper that talked about the burnout across surgical specialties, and as you suspect, in the 41 studies that they evaluated, this was a problem in almost every specialty. And perhaps some specialties, like for instance neurosurgery, the problem is even higher. And this was a paper about neurosurgery residents in the nation. The rate of response was only about 40%, so not everybody responded to it. But when they were asked specifically what were the issues, the neurosurgery residents felt very dissatisfied to a great degree, because they felt that patients don't appreciate what they did, they didn't get appreciation from the staff, that there was academic productivity pressures on them, and there was pressures on their time for reading, et cetera. And a good number of them felt that the faculty was getting hostile toward the residents, and then the residents felt hostility from their co-residents. And there was a significant attrition of residents and lack of operative experience. So the entire process, to me, it looks like a vicious cycle that you don't get out of. So this paper was published in JAMA Surgery back in May, not too long ago. And I think that this is important to put out there. 98% of attending surgeons underestimated the degree of burnout that was present, and 75% depression. And these numbers were much higher. And to me, it says that perhaps the attending surgeons were denying or in denial about this problem. So does burnout affect our patients? I mean, we're here, we've studied, we've trained to take care of patients. Well, sure, burnout does affect patient satisfaction. I think patients pick up on the physician who doesn't have time to discuss things, discuss issues with the patient. It does have an effect on patient safety, and it's been shown to increase medical errors because you're rushed and you don't have time to double-check what you're doing. This was an article published a few years ago in the BMJ, and it proves that this issue is prevalent not only in the United States but also in Europe. So having identified that burnout is an issue that affects us all, what can we do about it? There's no question that one of the main issues that come up with the surveys is that physicians and surgeons feel like they don't have a work-life balance, that the balance is tilted toward work, that they have little time to spend with their families, go to their kids' games, and spend weekends doing something other than work. So in order for us to restore sanity in our lives, I think we have to be able to balance family and career and friends in order to get out of this. You heard that we needed to be resilient. Well, resilience is basically, first we have to recognize that there's a problem, and then we need to spend our energy in the proper way. I mean, to maintain and nurture the relationships that we have that sustain us, and then be able to prioritize work and family life. And you've heard this before, we need to be able to work smarter but not harder. And there are many help books about this. This is the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People that Stephen Covey has done. Our medical school started to have like sessions to read this book together and try to help one another with being more effective in communicating. So it's an interesting book to read, but you'll recognize some of the dysfunctions there when it's described that the people you deal with on a day-to-day basis, people fail to respect your views. And so number 6 or 5 here says that first seek to understand, then to be understood. So that's really important. Not to be selfish in this situation. This is a book that was required reading for the faculty at Stanford. It's called Essentialism. And basically, the bottom line is that you have to recognize you're not going to be able to do everything. So you need to prioritize what you're going to do so that you can do it well. So in summary, I think what I try to show you is that burnout is a real problem and that we need to recognize it as a first step. This is sort of like the 12 steps of AA is first admit that there's a problem. And then this affects all medical personnel, not just physicians, not just attendings, but residents and nurses and all the people who work in the hospital. If you don't address it, it's going to lead to depression, and if it leads to depression, it can lead to suicide, which is a real problem now. And in order for us to fix this problem, we have to look at multifaceted solutions to this problem. It's just not one thing that we can do that's going to fix it. It's going to take a lot of effort and work with people in leadership, but also individual physicians saying that enough is enough. So the key to creating passion in your life is to find your unique talents and your special role and purpose in the world. And I think this is what makes physicians and surgeons so compassionate and hardworking to take care of their patients. So thank you for your attention. Happy to answer questions.